A vote in the House of Commons this week to keep Canadian soldiers in the Middle East for at least another year. But the vote is just a formality. The Conservatives have a majority, so the military mission against ISIS will be extended and expanded.
To explicitly expand the air combat mission to include Syria.
Our CF-18s will now be dropping precision bombs in Syria, joining U.S. airstrikes.
Our commitment is to degrade ISIL. We have been very clear on that.
This organization isn't a caliphate. It's not a state. It's just a charade.
A campaign to sell a war. But the opposition vows to vote against the mission again.
We cannot support a mission that could very well result in Assad consolidating his grip on power in Syria.
And questions whether airstrikes in Syria are even legal.
The Prime Minister of Canada thinks he's above international law also. He's not, and Canada is not. That's all we got.
If he is suggesting, Mr. Speaker, that there is any significant legal risk to lawyers from ISIL taking the government of Canada to court and winning, the government of Canada's view is that the chances of that, Mr. Speaker, are negligible.
Extraordinary, Mr. Speaker, living in a Canada where that sort of idiocy passes for argument.
The Minister of Defense reiterated the government's right to fight in Syria.
Our military operations in Syria are justified under Article 51 of the United Nations Charter, specifically the right of independent and collective self-defense.
And joining us now, Defense Minister Jason Kenney. Mr. Kenney, the opposition parties are saying that going into Syria is really an election ploy, a political ploy by your government. Did we ask the Americans to join the war against Syria, or did they ask us?
Well, first of all, it's not a war against Syria. It's a war against ISIL, this genocidal terrorist organization that has total control over eastern Syria. This is a part of the country that the Syrian government either cannot or will not control, from which ISIL has been launched its invasion of Iraq and its terrorist strikes. So I would say that we had ongoing discussions with the Americans and our other allies, and they indicated that it would be useful for the Canadian Air Force to do strikes against ISIL targets in eastern Syria, but ultimately it's our government's decision. It's not a political decision. This is their capital. It's where most of their operations are, and it should not be a safe haven for this organization to spread its violence around the world.
Okay, so then why didn't the British or the French? I mean, they're also allies in the coalition. Why didn't they join?
Well, we'll let each government make its own decisions. I believe the British had a vote on actual military action against the Assad regime a couple of years ago, which was defeated in the House of Commons. So they've decided for that domestic political reason not to proceed. But there are five Middle Eastern countries, together with the United States, who have decided to hit the ISIL targets in eastern Syria. And I wouldn't be surprised if other allies decide to do the same.
Okay, the opposition parties, both leaders, Mulcair and Trudeau, say that what you're really doing here in going into Syria is helping out Bashar al-Assad, who is one of the world's worst dictators, has killed more people than probably ISIS.
Look, we want Bashar al-Assad to leave office. He is a war criminal, and Canada is actively supporting international diplomatic efforts to get a truce and then a peace settlement in Syria that we hope will lead to an inclusive democratic government. But until that happens, we're not going to allow our objections to the Assad regime to give ISIL a safe haven in a part of the country that it controls uncontested by the Syrian government. You know, we shouldn't allow these. This is where ISIS capital is. It's the base of their military operations. It's where they've been moving heavy equipment. Frankly, the pace of airstrikes in Iraq against ISIL has slowed in recent weeks because they moved a lot of their equipment back into Syria. So if we want to continue to degrade this organization so that they no longer have this bizarre caliphate, so they can no longer radicalize and recruit Canadians and people from around the world, we have to hit them where they have their strongest assets.
Are you worried at all that Assad's missiles could knock down one of our planes?
You know, the military advice I've received is that the Syrian military has no radar coverage or anti-aircraft armaments in that part of Syria. Obviously, it's under the control of ISIL, and ISIL doesn't have the capability of hitting aircraft at these altitudes. Hundreds of sorties have been flown by our allies over that terrain, hitting ISIL targets with no risk to our allies.
Okay, but what happens if one of our CF-18 fighter jets crash and the pilot gets captured by ISIS, or he doesn't get captured, how do you get the person out?
So obviously there's an inherent risk in any military operation, including air operations that exists over Iraq or Syria or any other air operation. We have contingencies that we develop, in this case with the United States, for rapid evacuation in the case of an incident like that.
Now, it looks like the whole situation in the Middle East is escalating. You're seeing Iranian-backed Shiite militias working with the Iraqi army now saying that they are not going to join in the attack on Tikrit because American fighter jets are bombing there and they don't want any part of it. I mean, these are supposed to be our allies.
Well, look, this is an alliance of over 60 countries, including every NATO country. That in every one of our democratic allies around the world that is doing something to oppose ISIL, about two dozen of them are involved in the military campaign. None of the Western countries want to be working with Iranians or their officers who are working with the Shia militia around Tikrit. But what we call on the Iraqi government to do is to unify Iraqis of all sectarian and ethnic backgrounds into a common front to defeat this ISIL genocidal terrorist organization. But the reason we have to do this is because as long as they maintain the perception, the appearance of a caliphate, of this Islamic State, it has a very powerful, seductive appeal to radicalize and recruit people, including, we believe, over 100 Canadians who have gone to join that fight. By turning the tide against that organization, by demonstrating it's not really the caliphate, we will be able to diminish its ability to radicalize and recruit people.
But here's what one of these powerful leaders of one of these militias said: we are staying in Tikrit, we are not leaving, and we are going to target the American-led coalition in Tikrit and their creation ISIS. So here's supposedly our allies. They're going to go after us now. What the hell are we doing there if that's what we're going to see?
What we're doing is very clear. What we're doing is we're involved in a multinational campaign over 60 countries to degrade this terrorist organization to the point where it can no longer pose a threat to international security, including that of Canada, against whom is declared hostility.
How can we do that if we've got supposedly our own allies, these Shiite militias backed by Iran, who are now potentially threatening to use ground-surface missiles to knock down American planes and presumably our planes?
Again, Bob, we're there at the invitation of the sovereign, democratically elected government of Iraq. The Iraqi people overwhelmingly are the victims of ISIL. They want to push this organization back, and we're there to support them as long as we are there at the invitation of the Iraqi government and as long as we can make a positive difference.
But look at Yemen now. We're seeing now a wider war going on between, again, Iranian-backed rebels mm-hmm. in Yemen and the Sunni majority. Now we're having Saudi Arabia coming in, which is Sunni, the Egyptian army going in. This looks to me like this is a Sunni-Shiite war that's going on, and how are we going to get out of this mess?
We have absolutely no intention of taking military action of any kind in or around Yemen. Bob, what's unique about ISIL here is this is an organization that has recruited significant numbers of Westerners, of Canadians, radicalized them. It has created this attractive idea of the caliphate, of this kingdom that many of these people want to belong to. And this poses a risk to our own security. None of those groups in Yemen have declared war on Canada or radicalized Canadians in the same way. So let's focus on those threats that, yes, I mean, we have a humanitarian obligation to degrade ISIL because of its genocide against religious and ethnic minorities, but we also have a security interest in being there.
And one final question, are we going to have more military trainers sent to northern Iraq, or are we going to remain at 69?
Our plan is to maintain the current contingent of 69 Special Operations Forces there.
Minister, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob.
The debate on the motion to extend and expand the mission will continue tomorrow in the House of Commons. Green Party leader Elizabeth May will vote against the mission, and she's concerned that our involvement is all about politics.
I think there's a political election strategy at play. I think a prime minister who knows that a country that is at war tends to have more support for a leader than a country that is at peace. It is incorrect to say that Canada is a country at war. We are not a country at war. We are a country in peace. We are one of the safest countries in the world.
Ms. May wasn't able to join our discussion, but joining me now here in the studio, the Parliamentary Secretary to the Minister of Defense, James Bazin, Liberal Foreign Affairs Critic Mark Garneau, and NDP Foreign Affairs Critic Paul Dewar. So, Mr. Bazin, has the government really thought through the implications of leaping into what seems to be a spreading conflict in the Middle East?
I think we have. We're looking at the one organization that has declared war on Canada, that has threatened Canadians here at home, and has inspired Canadians to join their terrorist organization, to go to Syria and become jihadist fighters. They've also inspired Canadians here to commit terrorist acts. So we have to stop this. We believe that we're being incredibly responsible with the resources that we have participating in the airstrikes in Syria once we receive parliamentary approval this coming week. And it is important that we are prepared to do the heavy lifting in the region, especially as ISIL has coalesced and pulled back into Syria out of Iraq. So we want to target their heavy equipment, their fighting positions, the places where they're developing their improvised explosive devices.
But Mr. Dewar, even the British or the French won't get involved in this. And this conflict is starting to look like a Shiite-Sunni battle here. In Tikrit, for example,
exactly.
Shiite militias aren't aligned with the Iraqi army,
yeah.
are opposing the American air war. These are supposed to be our allies.
Yeah, so this is the problem the official opposition has. We were very clear from the beginning that we should be doing what we were asked to do. We were never asked to go in and do airstrikes and bombing. And so the government's putting forward a proposal, go into Syria and bomb. We're talking about, so far that campaign has been $120 million, the military campaign. We think the highest impact and the most responsible thing for Canada to do what we do really well, the humanitarian support, the government support, and that's why our amendment to the government's motion was very clear and concise as to what we should do. Because your point here, Bob, is that we're talking about now going into Syria, even within Iraq, there's the government, I don't think, really understands what we're getting into here. You have different alliances. You have the Shias who are allied with Tehran, with the Iranians. You have the Kurds. You have different formations within Iraq. And then go into Syria. Well, tell you what, it's not just ISIS there. There's over 1,000 different groups you're talking about. And the government says, no, we'll just go in and bomb as if that's going to take care of it. Dealing with things at home, couldn't agree with the government more, but they're not doing that. Bombing Syria is not going to stop jihadists being trained here and going abroad. You have to deal with that at home. And there's no plan in this motion to do that.
I want to ask you, Mr. Garneau, because this is spreading now into Yemen, and it is Iranian-backed Shiites fighting Sunnis. So now you have the Egyptian, which is Sunni, army going in. You have the Sunni Saudi Arabia Air Force going in. This is not just becoming Iraq-Syria problem. It's spreading throughout the region.
Absolutely, it's spreading, and it is turning into really a conflict on a grand scale between Shiites and Sunnis. And insofar as our mission is concerned, it's become apparent in the last 48 hours that the government has not thought it through. This is a badly defined, open-ended mission that is going to last a very long time. And when Mr. Kenny was asked, well, what is the objective? He said, the objective is to defeat ISIL, but I have no idea how this is going to finish up.
Let me remind Mark that it was the Liberals that took us into Afghanistan with the same pretext as what we're using in our battle in Syria against ISIL. It was to get rid of the Taliban and the Al-Qaeda factor that was there. Did they have an exit strategy? No, they didn't. We were there for 10 years.
And how did that
go? I can tell you that in this situation, the motion is a 12-month motion.
We ended up leaving Afghanistan.
Yeah, we did leave Afghanistan, and this is a 10-month motion. Our objective here is quite clear, that we want to degrade ISIL so they're no longer a threat to us here. We get the regional and secular differences that are taking place in that region.
But it looks like
the sectarian violence that we're seeing
is going to end up being in the hands of Iran. I mean, the Shiite militias are all backed
and I can
by
tell
Iran.
You, we're no friends of Iran. We don't have any diplomatic relations with them at all. And we have been very concerned about the Islamic Republic of Iran and the way they promote terrorism, and they're an enemy of Israel at the same time. So we want to make sure that when we are there, we're dealing with ISIL. That's the organization that has declared war on Canada, on our allies. We've seen what they've done here. We've seen what they've done in Denmark.